6, and yes, David told me that he already worked with Samba and IPv6 for more than 10 years, and he's also written some papers and books for Microsoft. I think you'll introduce yourself, and I hope you enjoy the talk.
Great. Well, it's a nice small number of us. So what I think I'll do is, we're getting quite a lot of feedback on this.
Can we turn the volume down?
Because that could be a problem. How's that? Still a bit funny. Well, since there's such a small number of us, we'll do it kind of friendly. Rather than the other approach, which is very unfriendly. No, my name is David Holder. Thanks for the introduction, Chris. It's great to be here. And we at Aireon have worked with IPv6 for over 10 years, which is rare. We also work on Unix and Windows integration. I remember the happy days of LAN Manager, of Windows for Workgroups and Pathworks and all of those things which I used to work with. I don't want to talk about other things because we get into dates that make me look very old. Oh dear. Right, so IPv6. So please ask questions as we go along. I was going to say we'll do it at the end, but let's do it as we go along if you want to break in. Andrew's smiling, he's thinking some nasty ones to ask me. And my remote has just decided to whiz us forward. I asked these last year, these questions. So quick poll. Who is using IPv6 in production? Aye, excellent. That's one. That's one more than last year. who's using IPv6 at all? Okay, so that's three of you. Okay, so that is two more than last year. And who wants to use IPv6? No one. Right, so I'm talking to a really enthusiastic audience. Look, let's remind us. This is the point. You have no choice. IPv4 is fundamentally broken. If you have a look here, the address space with IPv4 is only 4 billion addresses, of which you can only use about 300 million. Which, when you think that we've got over 6 billion people, last time I counted, 6,500,000 there. Anyway, no. People in the world, this is a problem. With IPv6, there's unlimited address space. Now, there's been a lot of calculations about when we'll run out, all of them untrue, except for some recent ones. And those recent ones say that we have got until 2010, or maybe at the latest 2012, before the address pools that the regional registrars use run out. And that's those calculations are calculations that I believe. A lot of them are crap, right? But those ones I believe. Okay, a couple of things here for those of you who are developers that's great about IPv6. First of all, the new IPv6 API is protocol independent. You write for IPv6, you get IPv4 for free, right? The other thing is that if you write for IPv4, you don't get IPv6. Okay, it's working really well. Okay. So, why is it important? Well, there's the address running out. There's also other things going on. So in the US, the federal governments have mandated the use of IPv6. Other governments have mandated the use of IPv6. And this is absolutely crucial. So you'll have a look around the world and you'll see that the increase in use of IPv6 in the US is massive because of the mandates. And I can't stand up here without getting the feedback, can I? That's better.
Someone said developing mobile phones, I think it's sort of nicely inducting on the...
Yep, okay, that's what the problem is. Nice, thank you, Andrew. Okay, now the other thing is, most of you said you weren't using IPv6. But I'm willing to bet you money that almost all of you are using IPv6, even though you don't know it. So all modern operating systems support IPv6 by default, and they will aggressively try to use IPv6 if they can. So Linux, Unix, Windows, all have IPv6 by default and will use it if they can. If you have a look at Vista and Windows Server 2008, their IPv4 stacks are IPv6 stacks. They will use IPv6 in preference to IPv4 wherever they can, right? So there are going to be a lot of people who implement Vista and Windows Server 2008 without wanting to use IPv6, but they get it, right? And also, there are a lot of people out there who have been holding off using IPv6, waiting for Windows. Now they've got Windows with IPv6, they're going to use IPv6. So this is really important for Samba. If you have a look at where we are with Windows, this is why it's important for Samba. Because the current Windows operating systems all have IPv6 by default. Right? So in the world, you're going to have companies that are using IPv6 by accident, and that are using it deliberately now because they've got Vista and Windows Server 2008, and so they need interoperability with Samba, with Unix and Linux, over IPv6. And maybe their government's mandating it. Maybe they're the DOD or another military establishment. Now, last year when I came to Samba XP, there wasn't much of a story to talk about IPv6 on Samba. A few things were done at Samba XP, but this year things are different. If we have a look at where we are, we can see that the CIFS Linux client last year at Samba XP was made IPv6 enabled. So you can use it now, and you'll find that most Linux distributions now have support for IPv6 in the CIFS client. Samba 4, if you use my hack, you can enable it for IPv6, and I'll talk more about that later. And if you use Samba 3.2, its default is IPv6. Now, Samba 3 will never be IPv6 enabled, Samba 3.0, but Samba 3.2 is by default. Okay. So this is what's happened since Samba XP 2007. Last year, a year ago, we had the CIFS client enabled, and I did the first ever mount to Windows Server 2008 over IPv6. Samba 4, we started doing file sharing over IPv6, but the domain functionality wouldn't work. You couldn't join a Samba 4 domain using IPv6. At the Google CIFS Engineering Workshop, we managed to do that join with a hack on Samba 4. So you had a Samba 4 domain and it was possible to join. I'm sorry about this noise, it's really irritating, isn't it? Unfortunately, this is supposed to be recorded and I don't seem to be able to stand anywhere. Is this better?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? A little bit. I'll stand here and then I'll rush over there to... okay. And also at the engineering workshop, I challenged Jeremy about IPv6 enabling Samba 3.2. And then in January, Jeremy took on that challenge of IPv6 enabling Samba 3.2, and he did it in 3 weeks. Basically, I told him he wasn't able to do it, and it would take him months, and that wound him up, and he got really aggressive and started swearing repeatedly. And after a while, he calmed down, and as the steam had come out of his ears, he did the job, and it was an excellent job. And in January, I was able to do the first ever IPv6 join of Samba 3.2 to a Windows Server 2008 Active Directory domain, which is an amazing achievement. And the thing to be aware of is that Jeremy did that in 3 weeks, didn't test the code because he doesn't have IPv6 on his machines, and all the testing I've done has shown surprisingly few bugs. I mean, I think that's pretty amazing. Okay. Right, so let's just have a recap on where we are. At the moment, if you want to use the Linux SIFS client, then with IPv6, then you can't put the name in and let it do name resolution for IPv6. It won't work. And the reason is that mount.sifs doesn't include IPv6 name resolution. However, you can use IPv6 by using the IP option, mount option, and it will work. Okay, so you can put in these easy to remember IPv6 addresses, which I'm sure that those of you who are using IPv6, they're dead easy to remember, aren't they? It's no problem. Now, if you want to use it with name resolution, I've written a short hack, well, a patch actually, which might end up in mount.sifs by the end of today, I hope. And that allows you to type the naming, and that will work. If you want to download it, it's on our website anyway, if you want to try that out. And if you do try it out, let me know. Okay. What about 3.2? Well, as I said, it's enabled by default. When Samba 3.2 is released, it will work with IPv6. And it will work by default. And you've got client and server-side functionality. You are able to join Active Directory domains over IPv6 to Windows Server 2008, and so on. And you can use IPv6 addresses everywhere, on the command line, in the configuration files, and it just works. That's pretty good. What it you can't do is it can't be a domain controller. Does anybody know why? Exactly. And Samba 3.2 is not an AD domain controller. So it will never be an IPv6 domain controller. This is a key point to note, because for those companies that have to move to IPv6 and have to move their interoperability to IPv6, what they cannot do now is move domain controller functionality to IPv6. Okay, here is an example of Samba 3.2 from the command line. As you can see, I've used a simple IPv6 address up here rather than a hard one. And oops, there are the odd little problems, but they don't break anything. This is now fixed. I pointed this out to Jeremy yesterday, and it's now fixed. Basically, it was trying to use an IPv6 address over NetBIOS, which doesn't work. Okay, what about Samba 4 then? Samba 4, as we speak at this moment, is not IPv6 enabled by default. However, my latest patch has gone to Tridge, and he is actively working in getting it into the Samba 4 test tree. So hopefully by the end of today, it might even be in the tree. What do you reckon, Andrew? Possible. So if it isn't, though, I'll put that patch up on our blog if you want to try it out, and you will be able to do everything in Samba 4 over IPv6. Okay, so let's have a look at how you actually would do that. IPv6 enabling Samba 4. One thing to note is you need to learn about IPv6 addresses. So you need global addresses. Link locals, no good for domain controller functionality. You apply the patch, assuming Tridge hasn't got it in. Yeah?
Does that mean that the only sane way to do it would be to then you to apply for your own prefix from a registrar or something? Because these are going to be hard-coded into zone files and things.
Yeah, the right thing to do would be to get a prefix. And you can get test prefixes from what are called tunnel brokers. If you haven't got native IPv6. Or, if it's just in a lab, make your own prefixer. Or, if you're pedantic and fussy, then there is an IANA reserved prefix you can use for testing. Okay.
But you can't, what addresses you put in there will depend on your ISP or something.
They will. They are provided to you by your ISP. Yeah. Well, no, the great thing about IPv6, Andrew, is that there is router renumbering with IPv6.
Yeah, but yeah,
so,
it doesn't go and edit my Samba copy.
What, Perl script, 5 seconds? Okay.
Well, that's actually a good question. So there's no way to get this, or would it be saying, just say, okay, so get my prefix from my IPv6 advertising, root advertising daemon, and just kind of configure the rest around that. We do bind with name resolution, so that probably doesn't work, right? So just do, I mean, the only thing I care about is my subnet. I mean, the prefix, we're all like a character to change.
Yeah.
As long as my stuff still works.
Yeah.
And the fine thing about IPv6 is that, I mean, I get so large a subnet that all I ever need will be in my, under my prefix.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be nice to sort of abstract the prefix away, but probably
it's
not going to work anytime soon.
The reason you need a prefix is because linked local addresses, which you can use for almost everything, which only work on one subnet, won't work when you're doing DNS name resolution. What you do not want to do is put linked local into your DNS. But it's not a problem. Test with a fake one if you're not connected. And if you are connected...
We're talking about this being for real. Yeah, I'm just trying to understand how, I mean, organizations, it's pretty much... Because we don't do NATing in IPv6, you don't have, well, we've picked this NATed range. So instead, you know, ISPs come and go like the wind these days. Now, it's basically anyone who's a company or anything at all is basically applying for a globally routable address and hoping that their ISP routes to them, or...
That's essentially it.
Or we're just going to end up with NAT on this whole thing anyway.
No, it's a big story, is that, Andrew, and I probably have to spend a few hours on it. Maybe we should talk about it offline. But it's not as bad as it sounds from your question, okay? Yeah. Okay, so going back to this, provisioning at the moment, and we talked about this yesterday, doesn't work with IPv6. It doesn't automatically provision. But it doesn't with IPv4 either. That is, it doesn't pick the addresses up off the interface. So you have to specify them manually in the provision script. And this creates for you a zone file that you can use with bind. So you need to set up your DNS server to do IPv6 transport. So if you're using bind, that's how you do it. Once you've done that, it just works. So, for example, here is SAMBA4 just working over IPv6. Few things to note about this. Notice the NetBIOS stuff. The patch doesn't touch NetBIOS stuff. So this is still IPv4 code. Now, I'm a purist, and I like things to be done right. And in theory, what you could do is write the IPv4 NetBIOS stuff using the IPv6 API. Okay? But the SAMBA team have got better things to do, and so have I. So that's not what we've done. So what you see here is that when you do an IPv4 netstat, you see the NetBIOS stuff is still over IPv4 sockets. Okay? And the IPv6 and IPv4 bits are over IPv6 sockets, right? So this does both. Right? So when you listen on an IPv6 socket, you get IPv4 as well by default. Does that make sense? Yeah? So there you are. You see all the usual culprits here. Andrew?
I was just saying that, particularly for NetBIOS, I would not accept anything that tried to pretend to do listen on the... I would not want to ever receive on IPv6 a NetBIOS packet because... you cannot make the sensible responses. The fields don't fill in properly. So even though you could, you know, accept a datagram, it makes so little sense that I would prefer to strictly not bind to IPv6 for those.
No, what I mean is...
even for I just prefer it not to be listening on the IPv6 stack at all.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that the protocol independence of the IPv6 API means that if you are a purist, you can use protocol independent code to even do the NetBIOS stuff. You would still only list on IPv4, but you'd do it using IPv6 calls. And trust me, it would work. Andrew, don't believe me, but I'm right. Okay, so here is a Vista Ultimate join to a SAMBA4 domain. That's a nice picture of it happening. Okay, and here are some shares in that domain. Okay, exciting stuff. You've seen shares before. What is interesting here is you can see that there's lots of different ways of writing and referring to IPv6. So here's a short name, which looks like a NetBIOS name. Here is a full domain name that's doing quad A lookup. And here is what's called a literal.net, which is an IPv6 thing. So there are lots of different ways of referring to IPv6 names. If you want to know more about that, catch me after the talk. Okay, so here we are. This is what we were talking about with Andrew a moment ago. And this is what it's all around. We need to talk more about this. But you can see here that we've actually got three sockets connected, NetBIOS sockets connected. One of them, the top one, is an IPv4 one, okay? So these are, this is a Windows machine connected to a SAMBA4 domain controller and file server. And here we have two IPv6 sockets. But the SAMBA4 side is all IPv6. So what you've got here is an IPv6 connection, that's one of these two here, another one, which is the other one of these two, and then we've got the IPv4 one. But it's not an IPv4 socket, as far as SAMBA4 is concerned. It's an IPv6 socket that's using mapped addresses where this prefix, right, this prefix tells the stack to use IPv4. So by magic, if you're a programmer, you get IPv4 without having to explicitly code for it. Trust me, it's good. Nobody believes me. Now, this is something I thought you'd like. I thought it'd be interesting to create a SAMBA4 AD domain using IPv6 and to join SAMBA 3.2 as a client to it over IPv6 and see if it worked. Not only did it work, all the traffic was over IPv6. And for those of you with Superman eyes, you can see the trace of the join in the background. I think Andrew wants to ask another question.
No, I was just going to comment that we don't even test that with IPv4, so you're very lucky.
Okay. I thought that was pretty cool. So where do we go next? Well, with Linux SIFS client, you can use it now. And my patch will be in Mount SIFS today or soon, so you can do name resolution with IPv6 too. So that all works. What the opportunity now for people who are NAS vendors is to use some of the new features in IPv6, like jumbo datagrams. So IPv6 allows you to do massive datagrams over data links that support it. So that opportunity is now available in SAMBA SIFS, okay? SAMBA 3.2, it works, but there are quite a few bugs that I know about, most of which are not showstoppers, one of which is, which will hopefully be fixed by the end of today, and it is a showstopper. SAMBA 4, well, I keep harping on about this. My view is that the IPv6 should be the standard for the source code, okay, in SAMBA 4. That is that they should be, that the development people should be using IPv6 only APIs. And this is the same as what Jeremy did in 3.2. What he did was he wrote the code to the current IPv6 API standard, so it's protocol independent, and then for the platforms that don't support the API fully, he wrote libreplaces. And that means he can code in the best possible way. Everything looks to SAMBA 3.2 like IPv6, and there's no having two sets of functions, one for IPv4 and one for IPv6. So it's much easier to maintain. One of the problems with SAMBA 4 is that because the IPv6 functions have not been used or tested, they've got out of sync with the IPv4 functions. So this can be avoided. Now, I believe that if Tridge does the changes that he's doing at the moment, and incorporates my patch and fixes the other things, then that's probably what will happen. The SAMBA, the IPv6 functions will be used. Okay, so use libreplace rather than IPv4 and IPv6 specific functions. That is the wrong thing to do. It was a good idea however many years ago when this started, but it's the wrong thing to do now. And use the current IPv6 API everywhere. This will make your life much easier, trust me. And I think it's very close. It could happen today. Okay, things just to watch out for. There's a lot that you need to know about IPv6 to use it effectively, particularly on the addresses, and particularly on name resolution. I don't know if you've noticed, has anybody seen things on /dot where there's been Windows Vista has eaten my cat? Windows Vista started World War III because of IPv6, right? Have you seen any of those? And most of it is because of a lack of understanding of name resolution. Yeah? And addresses. So when you're using addresses within SAMBA 4 and SAMBA 3.2, watch out for using linked local addresses. If you use a linked local address, you have to specify the link. If you're using global addresses, you don't. So with a SIPS client, you can't use linked local addresses. Right? With SAMBA 4 as a domain controller, you can't use local addresses. The other thing to watch out for is things that Microsoft does. Right? So in Vista and in Windows Server 2008, Microsoft have decided to use privacy addresses for security reasons to meet requirements of the DoD. Now that means that their addresses have got an interface identifier, the last 64 bits, that are randomly generated. And the address that you have one day is different than the address you have the next day.
That's cool. I use that.
I don't think it's cool. I think it's seriously bad news. And the reason it's seriously bad news is, can you imagine looking through the logs? Right? You look at the logs the day before and you think, what machine is this? I don't have such an address. Well, you're right, you don't. Well, you didn't. You don't have today, you did yesterday, right? So privacy addresses make things hard not just for attackers, but they make things hard for you. So watch out for that when you're working with Vista and with Windows Server 2008. Personally, I would switch it off and use what's called EUI64 addresses. Okay, the other thing is, remember what I've been saying about it being an IPv4 stack as well. It uses something called IPv4 mapped addresses. Remember :FFF. Yeah? So learn about that and understand it. Then watch out for the different textual formats of IPv6 addresses. Okay, so you've got straight native IPv6 formats. Read the RFCs. They're a spiffing good read. You've got the mapped formats. You've got a different format for UNCs, you've got a different format for URIs, and then of course you've got this special domain name that Microsoft are using just to give you something else to think about. And finally, name resolution. Did I mention name resolution? Okay.
Did you end up, has Microsoft done anything, the IPv6 literal.net and things, are they making any attempts that this be anything other than a Windows hack?
As far as I know, it's only Windows still.
Mm. And are they pushing it? Are they thinking it was a bad idea?
I don't know what they think about it. I know what I think about it, which is that it's all very well if you're a Microsoft-only shop, but if you're not, forget about it. Mm. Who cares? I think the same is true of LLMNR as well. You've already forgotten. Multicast DNS,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
I'm waiting for your patch, that's all.
Oh, yes, that patch. Yeah, well, it's not going to happen. It's kind of irrelevant, and I think it's particularly irrelevant because most enterprises won't be using it. It's for home networks. So I doubt if people will go down the Microsoft route, and if they are just using Microsoft at home, it will just work anyway. So I don't think it's critical. Right, I think that's it. Do I have some time for questions? 15 minutes, excellent. Would you like a demo?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yay!
Okay, I wasn't expecting to have time for a demo, so I prepared one. That kind of makes sense. Here we go. Now, what I've got here is Samba 3.2, a very simple configuration file. You'll notice here that it looks no different from an IPv4 configuration file. Okay? And it's a domain member of a domain that's hosted by Windows Server 2008. Okay. Great. So if I just switch to this other window here, if we do ifconfig eth2, don't get me started about the way that UDEV changes the device names on Fedora Core 8. But here you can see you've got a linked local address, IPv6 address, which is created on the bottom 64 bits from your MAC address. Okay. And here we've got a global address that I've made up, 3000:2. Now, I'll just clear this. Let's join the domain. Okay, so I enter my password. Remember, this is all over IPv6. Join the domain. And if you look at my Wireshark trace, I am not lying. You can see here that everything on there is over IPv6. And it just works. Any questions about that?
Question about the next step.
Right, the next step. Right. Okay.
So, you know, you've got a glaring IPv4 address sitting there. A parameter that would restrict the interface.
Oh, if you notice, that's commented out.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. Go on, Jim.
So,
why?
What's the state of that?
It doesn't work. Right. Now, this is great. If you use Samba 3.2. And you move from Samba 3 to 3.2 when it's released, you're using this for security, your security is just blown out of the water. And the reason is because it's binding an IPv6 interface and it's not applying the access control, as in it's not limiting the bind to the IPv4 address. It binds to everything. So this is kind of bad. It's kind of, as I said, a showstopper. It's seriously wrong. That's why it's commented out. Do you want me to put it back in?
Hey, I found the showstopper. All right.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a showstopper. Let's put it back in and I'll show you what happens. This will be fixed by the end of today, Jeremy said. We didn't actually say that, but I've said it. It's on tape, isn't it? So I'm no doubt it will be fixed. So I've just changed that. If I do reload the config, yeah? And if I now do well, that worked well. It's kind of gone away. Let's just check. Yeah, well, that might be the reason. Okay, so if I go back to my netstat, that's not working. It worked earlier, trust me. Yeah, that's the correct one. That's correct, doesn't it? Okay, this is where we get into a debugging session. No, it's not under var lock.
It looks very secure.
It actually improved security. No, actually, it did fail earlier. I made sure my demos worked beautifully. before I turned up. But basically what you would have seen is that it's still listening on everything, not on the restricted ports. Yeah. And 5 minutes, very good. So, here's SMB client, and you'll notice that it really doesn't like that parameter, and that's working over IPv6. That error message, by the way, only occurs when you put in the interfaces line in the configuration file. And you may be wondering why it's not coming back. That's because of the net BIOS thing. That's already fixed. Okay, are there any other questions on that then? We've got, I think, 4 minutes for questions. Yeah, a few minutes for questions. Okay, well, maybe I've got one for you, which is, given this, that you turned up to this talk, how many of you are actually planning to use IPv6 with Samba? Great. Well, look, make yourself known to me, email me. I want to know how you get on, and I'd be very happy to help you out if you have problems. Assuming that is, I haven't got to do paid work at the same time. And if you want to give me money, that's okay, then I would help you straight away. But if I can, I'll help you anyway. John.
David, do you have any particular recommendations for learning more about IPv6?
I certainly do. Go on an Aireon training course. And in fact, we're running one in 2 weeks, and we will give any Samba conference, Samba XP conference attendee, 25% discount. My CFO's just had a fit on the back row. Sorry about that, 25%, why not? That's not being taped, is it?
It is.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, we still have a few minutes left until the next talk, so it will start in 5 minutes.